Ever tried to get public records from a government agency, maybe? And you just hit this wall of forms, requirements, stuff that felt, I don't know, less like organization and maybe more like deliberate hurdles. You know the kind, right? Makes you wonder if they're subtly trying to make it just a little bit harder to access what's supposed to be public information.
Definitely felt that way sometimes.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. This is where we take source materials, could be articles, court cases, research, and really pull out the key insights for you.
Think of it as getting straight to the important stuff.
Exactly. Try and make it clear, maybe even a bit surprising sometimes.
And today, we're diving deep into a really significant Florida case, actually. It's Chandler v. City of Greenacres from 2014, decided by the Fourth District Court of Appeal. And this judicial opinion, well, it gives us some crucial takeaways about how public records laws are supposed to function, especially now with everything being so digital.
Absolutely. So our mission today is to unpack what this Florida appellate decision really means for standing, your basic right to even make a request and understand the limits on what agencies can demand from you, forms, ID, that kind of thing.
Right.
And since you, our listener, are already pretty savvy about open government law, we think you'll find the details here, the specific legal interpretations, really interesting. It's quite a strong defense of access rights.
It really is.
Okay, let's unpack this then. It starts with a guy named Joel Edward Chandler trying to get records from the city of Greenacres. How did this whole thing kick off?
Well, it started pretty simply, actually, with emails. Back on November 22, 2011, Chandler sends a public records request via email. And then he follows up, sends three more emails over time, all from the same email address. The court notes it as leo.namesxx@whatever.com. And importantly, the emails themselves, which were later attached to his court petition, use words like I and me. So it was clearly a personal request.
Direct, like I am asking for these records.
Exactly. No ambiguity there. The emails were exhibits right there in the filing.
So Greenacres gets these emails. What did they do? Just hand over the documents? I'm guessing not.
No, not quite. The city clerk responded, but basically told the sender the email address that they had to fill out a specific form on the city's website.
Ah, the mandatory form.
Yep, had to fill it out to get the documents and apparently to find out the cost. Chandler didn't fill it out. Then, get this, 5 months later, same email address contacts the city again asking, hey, what about those documents? And the clerk just says the same thing again.
Just point it back to the form.
Exactly. Fill out the form to get the cost estimate. It was a clear roadblock, an extra step not mentioned in the actual public records law.
So this bureaucratic barrier, this insistence on their process, is what led Chandler to court.
That's right. Faced with this refusal, he decided he had to enforce his rights. So he filed a petition for a writ of mandamus.
Right, the legal tool to compel an official action.
Precisely. He's asking the court to order the city to produce the records. And in his petition, he also asked for attorney's fees and costs, which the Public Records Act allows for.
Makes sense.
And he specifically stated, I sent those emails and argued he was a person under the definition in the Act, Section 119.071.
So he laid out his case clearly.
Yeah.
How did the city respond to the lawsuit?
Well, they immediately moved to dismiss it, tried to stop it right there.
Okay, on what grounds?
They had two main arguments. First, they said Chandler lacked standing.
How so?
They claimed he hadn't specifically alleged he was a stakeholder in interest or shown an identifiable connection to that email address. It was almost like saying, prove you're the person behind this email address right now.
Interesting tactic. What was the second argument?
Purely procedural. They argued he hadn't followed their rule, fill out the city form to get the cost estimate. But here's a really telling detail. After Chandler filed his lawsuit, the city did provide a cost estimate.
Oh. How much was it?
90 cents.
90 cents. Seriously, all this over 90 cents.
Apparently so, which, makes the whole we need the form for the cost estimate argument seem a little weak in hindsight.
Yeah, just a bit. So, what did the trial court make of these arguments?
The trial court actually went with the city, granted their motion, dismissed Chandler's petition, basically said he hadn't properly established standing.
Wow. So, shut down at the first step.
Yep, which naturally led Chandler to appeal to the Fourth District Court of Appeal.
Okay, so now we get to the appellate court. This is where, as you said, it gets really crucial for understanding the law. They're reviewing the trial court's dismissal. How did they tackle that standing issue?
Well, first off, they applied what's called a de novo review.
Meaning they look at it fresh, right? Yeah. No deference to the lower court.
Exactly. They weren't just looking for errors. They were redeciding the legal question of standing from the ground up. This gave them the power to correct what they saw as a mistake in applying the Public Records Act.
So what was their take on standing?
They were really clear. They went straight back to the basics. Florida's Public Records Act requires custodians to allow inspection and copying by any person desiring to do so. That's section 1719.071A.
The core language.
Right. And they emphasized this isn't just a statute. It's baked into the Florida Constitution, Article 1, Section 24. It's a fundamental right. They also quickly confirmed that, yes, mandamus mass is the correct way to enforce this right under Chapter 119.
Okay, reinforcing the foundation. But what about the city's specific point that Chandler hadn't proved he was connected to the email?
That's where the appellate court really clarified things. They pointed out a basic legal principle. When you're reviewing a motion to dismiss, you have to take the petitioner's well-pled allegations as true.
Assume what they claim is fact for the purpose of the motion.
Exactly. And draw all inferences in their favor. So applying that, the court said Chandler's petition did sufficiently allege standing. Because he stated he made the requests, and the emails themselves, attached to the petition, used I and me. The court said the clear implication was that the email address belonged to him, or he was using it.
So the allegation itself was enough at that stage?
Precisely. And here's the key bit for our listeners. Mm. The court explicitly said this simple allegation is all that is required to establish standing for a public records mandamus petition.
Wow.
Proving he actually sent the emails.
Yeah.
That comes later, maybe a trial, not at this initial dismissal phase.
Yeah.
It's about alleging the connection, not proving identity up front.
That is a significant clarification. It sets a very low bar for getting your foot in the courthouse door, basically prioritizing the request over the requester's identity initially.
It does.
Okay, but then there's the other big issue, that mandatory city form. The city said they needed it for payment info. How did the court handle that whole aspect, the agency forms, demanding ID?
Yes. This is where the court really laid down the law, so to speak. The city claimed the form was needed for an address or other identifiable source of payment.
Right.
The appellate court flatly rejected this justification. They went back to a landmark Florida Supreme Court case, Waite v. Florida Power Light, from way back in 79.
Okay.
And they quoted Wait, emphasizing that the reasonable conditions an agency can impose are interpreted very narrowly. They're about protecting the records, preventing damage or disorganization during inspection, period.
Not about grilling the requester.
Exactly. They are not preconditions for review, and they don't include demanding information from the requester about who they are or where they live.
But agencies can charge for copies, right?
Oh, absolutely. The court acknowledged that agencies can charge fees for copies under 119.074 and even special service charges if a request is really extensive and requires a lot of staff time.
Okay.
But, and this is the crucial distinction the court made, while they can collect a fee, the agency has a duty to respond to a written request by telling the requester what the fee is.
Ah, so the burden is on them to provide the cost estimate first.
Yes. Once the request is made, they figure out the cost, tell the requester, and then produce the records once payment is made. They can't make you fill out their special form just to get that cost estimate.
That makes sense. It stops them from using the cost estimate as another hurdle.
Precisely. And the court hammered this point home, stating clearly, the Public Records Act does not condition the inspection of public records on any requirement that the person seeking to inspect records reveal that person's background information.
Unequivocal.
And they went further. The requester's motive is irrelevant. Why you want the documents doesn't matter for your right to access them.
That's always been a cornerstone of Florida law, hasn't it? Motive is irrelevant.
It has. And to really cement this, the court pointed to decades of Florida Attorney General opinions. These AG opinions consistently say the same thing.
Like what?
Well, opinions from the early 90s, and even an informal one from 2011, state that a requester may not be required to disclose his or her name, address, telephone number, or the like, unless some other law specifically requires the agency to get that info before release.
So, unless there's another statute mandating ID collection.
The agency can't demand it just because they want to, or because it's on their internal form. The court even gave an example, like getting motor vehicle records, where a specific law does require identification. But that's the exception, not the rule.
So the default is access without providing ID.
Absolutely. Another AG opinion from 91 even said that while an agency can make its own staff fill out internal forms for tracking, they can't force the requester to fill out forms. And if a requester refuses to fill out the agency's form, that does not give the agency grounds to deny the request.
Wow, that leaves very little room for agencies to impose these kinds of requirements.
Very little. So the court wrapped it all up. Greenacres could not legally make Chandler fill out their form or provide identifying info just to get the records or the cost estimate.
Right.
The court even pointed out the obvious alternative. The city could have just emailed the 90-cent estimate back to the same email address. No form needed.
Just like they would have mailed an estimate if it was an anonymous paper request?
Exactly. The court was clearly concerned that demanding ID and forcing forms could have a chilling effect on people exercising their right to access records. And the Public Records Act, they concluded, simply doesn't allow for that.
Okay, so pulling this all together, what's the big takeaway for people listening, people who deal with public records requests? This seems like a very strong statement from the court.
It absolutely is. The core message is crystal clear. An email request, even from a seemingly anonymous address, is enough to establish standing to sue if the agency refuses access. That's number one.
Okay.
And number two, agencies in Florida cannot force you to fill out their specific forms or demand your name, address, or other identifying info as a condition to get public records, full stop. Unless, of course, some other specific law explicitly requires them to get that information.
So the agency can't just invent its own hoops for you to jump through?
Precisely. This case really reinforces that fundamental idea in Florida law. The right to access public records is incredibly broad. It belongs to any person. Who you are, why you want it, generally irrelevant. The focus is on the record, not the requester.
Connecting this to the bigger picture, then, it really highlights how protective Florida's Public Records Act is meant to be. It's a shield for the citizen's right to know against, well, administrative foot-dragging or invented barriers.
It really is, and it clarifies that critical difference. Yes, agencies can charge fees, but no, they can't use the process of determining or collecting that fee to pry into your identity or make access conditional on things the law doesn't require.
The burden is on the agency to facilitate access, not on the requester to prove their worthiness.
That sums it up perfectly. The law puts the onus on them to make the records available within the actual rules, not to create extra ones.
This is definitely one of those aha moments for anyone dealing with open government. It confirms it's not about who you are, but simply about the public nature of the information itself.
Exactly. It levels the playing field.
Okay, so let's recap the absolute key points from Chandler v. Greenacres for everyone listening.
Sure. Point one. A simple email request is enough to give you standing in Florida if you need to enforce your rights.
Got it.
Point two. Agencies cannot make you fill out their special forms or demand your ID just to get public records, unless a separate law specifically requires it.
Okay, clear takeaways.
So, you know, the next time you're making a request and you encounter a form requirement or a demand for information you don't think is necessary, remember Chandler. It's a really potent piece of case law backing up that broad right to access for any person.
It definitely arms you with some important knowledge.
It does.
And just to leave you with something to think about, in this digital age, right, where everything's online, emails, digital IDs, how do we ensure agencies keep evolving their processes to uphold the spirit of open government?
That's a great question.
Instead of maybe unintentionally just creating new digital forms and hurdles that replicate the old paper ones, what does a case like Chandler mean as technology changes? And maybe even how might this thinking apply in other states or at the federal level where the laws might differ?
Yeah, that tension between digital convenience and maintaining genuine transparency.
Yeah.
It's ongoing.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope walking through Chandler v. City of Greenacres has given you a sharper view of public records access and underscored the strength of Florida's open government laws.